To John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, if you would. If you could put peace in a bottle, you could put whatever price tag you want on it. Because that is what people everywhere is looking for. Peace. Real peace. And they're trying to find it. And they think at times they have found it when they have a little pleasure or maybe a little positive moment and feel good about maybe something in their life, maybe get a promotion or, you know, maybe buy a new car and everything's well for a little while. But then that emptiness surfaces again. And there's no real peace in the life of sin. There's no real peace found in this world and apart from the Lord. John chapter 14, our text verse is going to be verse 27, but everybody's familiar with this passage of Scripture, and I want to start back in chapter 13, John's Gospel, chapter number 13, and the Bible said in verse 33, little children, yet a little while I'm with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? See, Jesus had told him he's leaving. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and he's telling him he's leaving. And Peter's asking the question, whether goest thou, verse 36 of chapter 13. And Jesus answered him, whether I go, thou canst not follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Thank God. You're to do a study on those two words, now and afterwards. I'm glad there's a now. You can't deny that. But I'm glad there's an afterwards. That is, the now is not going to get us. It's not going to kill us. And now is not the end. There's an afterwards coming. It's not this life is not all there are to it. I'm glad there's a afterwards that's coming. The storm is not all there are to the now, but there's an afterwards coming. Amen. That's what should drive you, is not the now, but the afterwards. Anyway, that's a whole other message. But verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. What about that? Peter was telling Jesus how good of a Christian he was. Hey, I'm going to go all the way with you, Lord. You can count on old Pete. You can count on me. And Lord said, no, let me tell you what I know. That's what you think. That's as far as you know about yourself. But let me tell you what I do know. You're going to deny me three times. Can you imagine what that sounded like in the ears of Peter, who had just spoken with confidence? Oh, I'll go all the way with you, Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. He's letting us know by that statement that the news of Jesus leaving them was disturbing to them. It was defeating to them. It was discouraging to them. It was agitating to them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. I'm glad of that word there. There's a here, but I'm glad there's a there. And there's more important than the here. And I'm here now, but I'm headed there. Thank God. Amen. Verse number 4, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's look on over, if you would, into verse. I'd love to read it all, but let's look over into verse number 27. Well, we're going to have to jump back. Sorry. Let's start in verse 15. There, you wouldn't get what's in verse 27 if we're not preceding what's written. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's given some words to them now of how that we're to operate in the realm of the Holy Spirit and under the control of the Holy Spirit after Jesus' presence is absent. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That is, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not leave you alone. I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit, a personal indwelling comforter. Verse 19, yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. I will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, because being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27, our text verse this morning, peace I leave with you. Don't you know that was good news for them? They just heard some what they thought was bad news. Jesus was leaving them. Their best friend was going to be departing. And of course, verse 1 of chapter 14 and other verses shows that they were disturbed. Their heart was troubled over that. But Jesus is saying in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we ask you to take the word of God this morning and our feeble efforts, our God, to preach it. I pray that you will touch me, that you will use me, that God, you will say, Lord, through me, what you would be pleased with this morning. And God, I'll give you the thanks because you're certainly worthy of it this morning. And save sinners and stir the saints of God, and above all, get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I'm trying to preach this morning. I don't know how far I'll get with it, but I'm trying to preach on the subject of the only real peace. The only real peace. Jesus said in verse 27, John 14, peace I leave with you. And this what's got big. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. He said, peace I leave with you. He just told him he was leaving, but he told him, he said, and I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave my peace with you. And I'm going to give my peace unto you. And this, look at this. And then he said, not as the world giveth. Note that. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When Jesus made that statement in the middle of that verse, not as the world giveth, it is identifying there that the world can give a carnal peace. The world, you can't deny that, the world can give a peace. But it's not a real peace. It's not a genuine peace. It's not a peace that you can enjoy and that will help you through the hard times. And so I noted in this verse of scripture that Jesus is making a contrast. Jesus is making a contrast between the world's peace, or I termed it as the carnal peace, and that of the spiritual peace. The peace that comes from the world, and then there's a peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is only one qualified to give a real peace this morning. Amen. And I believe it's very interesting, and the Lord spoke to my heart about this as I've been meditating on this. Actually, I was planning to preach this at Rest Home Service Tuesday night. And the Lord worked it out for Brother Brad to preach, and the Lord began to work it in my heart with very short notice, because I, like Brother Silas and the rest of us, except Brother and Sister Carol, we'd forgot about Rest Home Service, I guess, because we weren't here last Sunday and missed two Wednesdays and stuff. And so we'd been out of church Wednesday and then Sunday morning, Sunday night, so we didn't have a bulletin and it weren't announced and all that, and we just forgot it. That's my story anyway, and I'm sticking to it. But we found out about 10 minutes after 6 that we had rest home at 7 o'clock. And of course, I didn't know what we could round up, and so I began to think, Lord, what would you have me to preach? And the Lord immediately began to speak to my heart about this subject here in verse 27 about the peace of God. And boy, I'm telling you, people everywhere is going through turmoil, and I mean, we could pass the microphone around here this morning just inside this congregation, starting with the preacher. Amen. I'd probably take up the whole time, and we could probably give out a lot of negative of what's going on in our life, a lot of problems, a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of unsolved problems. Amen. A lot of things going on in our life that we would change if we could. A lot of things in our life that we didn't invite, but it's there, and we're having to deal with it. And of course, some things we did make. It's our own making. What do we need in life? What do we need as Christians? We need that real peace. We need that real peace. And the real peace that is being spoken of here is an inward peace. We a lot of times, we want an outward peace. We want our circumstance to be different. We want the storm to go away and the sun to shine in our life. We want everybody to like us and speak well of us. We want everything around us to be calm and at ease. But that's not the peace that is talked about in verse 27. It's an inner peace. It's a spiritual peace. It's a peace that you can enjoy and have when everything around you is falling apart. Woo, glory to God. The world's peace, it's an outward peace. It's not an inner peace. The outward peace of the world, it can come and it can go. Amen. And most of the time it'll cost you what little bit of it you do have. But I noticed this morning that Jesus, dealing with his disciples, and that is his specialty, Jesus dealing with his disciple, according to verse 27, pinpointed a specific area of interest. He pinpointed an area that he knew that he needed to deal with his disciples in order to help them. And that was at that area where your life meets the world or meets the spiritual. Right there at that battleground, right there at that battle zone, where the world on one side is making efforts in your life and making offers to you to you as a person. But then on the other hand, there's the spiritual side. Boy, isn't that where the battleground is? And that's where the Lord pinpoints his interest, is at that point between the world and the spiritual. And that's where you need help. And that's where I need help. As a Christian, that's where we need help. Amen? But this is a point of interest to the Lord. Amen? That's where the battles are. That's where the struggles are. Between flesh and spirit. Between the world and the eternal. That's where your battles are always going to be as a Christian. That's the line that divides the spiritual and the carnal. Amen? And there are a dividing line there. Amen? But we are just like Peter and the followers of Jesus, I'm afraid, who are controlled and influenced by the world's peace rather than by the Lord's peace. Peter and his comrades, so to speak, were followers of Christ. They were disciples of the Lord. But they operated not with real peace. They were under the influence of the world's peace. That's why they fell all to pieces when they heard what they didn't want to hear. When the news came into their life that they would have never asked for, never would have dreamed in a million years, Jesus is telling them, their best friend, I'm leaving. They would have, and their life, they fell apart. That, I believe that is showing us that they were operating under a peace that the world gives instead of a peace that the Lord gives, is that they fell apart when the news came. Now, wait a minute. Think about the news that did come. The news that did come to them was the Word of God. It was the will of God. Right. Jesus is talking about here leaving them, meaning He's going to the cross. The cross was not an accident. The cross was not an afterthought of God. It wasn't plan B. Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world. And He submitted Himself to that. But when Peter and them heard that He was leaving and that He was going to die, they fell all to pieces. Why? Because they had been operating under a world's peace, a worldly, a carnal, a fleshly peace, rather than the peace of the Lord that the Lord can give. Amen? But I'm afraid we're like that. We do good as long as it's sunshiny. We do good as long as we're healthy. We do good as long as everybody's, giving a positive report and we're doing good on the job and everything financially is going our way and everything materially is going our way and our children are behaving and all of that. And we have peace, but is it peace? You don't know what peace is till you get in a storm. If the peace that you claim to have is only in a seasonal time, in a circumstance, in a situation, as long as the sun's is shining and long as everything's fine, is that real peace? When things are peaceful, is that real peace? No, real peace, Jesus demonstrates, Jesus illustrates, in Himself, that the real peace that comes from God. Hallelujah. My friend, it don't matter how you're treated, you've got the peace. It don't matter what's going on in your life, you have that peace which passeth all understanding. Thank God. When you see people in church and you know there's bad circumstance in their life and you know the jig is up, so to speak, with them, but yet they're staying faithful and yet they've not changed their heart and they've not changed their mind about the things of God. They keep on carrying a Bible and keep on praying and keep on going to church. That's peace. Amen. Thank God for real peace. And I know we're wanting peace in this country and we're wanting peace in this world and it's coming. But it won't come until the Prince of Peace comes. Oh yeah. Amen. Oh yes, but we're just like the disciples here. We're doing good. We're willing to tell Jesus we're going to follow Him wherever He goes and we're being faithful and being a good Christian until the negative comes. And then we've all seen it. We've all seen it in our own lives. We've all seen it when the news came or a problem came or an unexpected came or whatever came in our life and all of a sudden our world is turned upside down and a lot of people have quit, have thrown in the towel, walked away from God, have got out of church. I say they weren't operating under real peace. No, I'm talking about real peace. I'm talking about real peace when you're along with your sister and brother has to make a call to unplug your mother from the life support. Are y'all listening? I still remember it. Oh, my world, no, my world naturally, my natural world was falling apart. My mama was leaving. And I'm talking about standing there watching her leave. And to make the call to unplug her. So on one side, there was the natural, my natural world. But oh, on the inside, the unexplainable was on the inside. There was a peace in my heart. There was a peace in my heart. Hallelujah. I wasn't questioning, God, what are you doing? And oh no, there was a peace in my heart. It wasn't a natural peace. It wasn't a fleshly peace. It wasn't a physical peace. It was not a relational peace far as to my earthly people. But it was a peace from God. I'm talking about a peace that'll bring about a calm in your heart and a calm in your life. Even when other things are falling apart in your life. That's the kind of peace I'm talking about. Hey, the world's peace will come and go with the sunshine. The world's peace can come in with a friend and leave out with a friend. Hey, the world's peace can come in with a financial raise, but the world's peace can go out when you lose your job. Hey, are you listening? I'm talking about, thank God for the real peace that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you concerned about the election coming up. I'm definitely concerned about it, but I'm not going to let it defeat me. I'm not going to let it defeat me, no, regardless of which way it goes. I think we should vote. I think that's our responsibility to vote. I think we ought to pray. I think we ought to do our part to stand for God and to stand for right. But I want to tell you, if it goes in a wrong direction, according to my view, I want to tell you, I'm not quitting church. I'm not going to quit preaching. I'm not going to quit standing. I'm not going to quit singing. I'm not going to quit serving. Hallelujah. Why? Because my peace don't come from government. My peace don't come from circumstance. My peace comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Whoa, I feel a little bit of that this morning. Son, I'm telling you that, and I don't have no sad story. Well, I got some sad stories to tell, but y'all probably wouldn't want to hear them. I probably got some sad songs I could sing, but they'd be out of tune. Not long ago, and I'm talking about in the recent days, with tears rolling down my face, I said to my wife, I'm done. I said, I'm done. And of course, at that moment, I'm in it. You know, I said, I'm done. I'm through. And I said, I'm gonna resign Sunday. This was back. I'm talking about tears. I said, I'm done. And the Lord had something different to say about that. The Lord began to work in my heart. I'm talking about immediately. You can't quit. You can't quit. See what it was? I was allowing some of that worldly peace. You know, that peace of circumstances and that peace of conditions and that piece of situations. I was allowing that to have some influence in my life. Amen. And amen. Are you listening? But I want to say, thank God, the God of heaven that helped me. God began to work in my heart almost immediately. After, of course, He convicted me of that, and He got to dealing with my heart, and He got to feeding me with the Word of God. Are you listening? Amen, that's right. Hallelujah. My blood pressure the last few days has been outrageous. I'm talking about outrageous. I'm talking about stroke level probably. And I know that's hard to imagine, a preacher with blood pressure problem. No stress in the ministry, right? We come over here last night to pray, and I hope those of you that didn't come, I hope you did pray at your house. I hope you did pull away at 8 o'clock and prayed. But some of us came over here last night and prayed, and I got up there in my little corner. And I just took the Bible literal when Jesus said, casting all your cares upon me. And I just unloaded. I just dumped on the Lord. You say, I don't sound good. That's what He wants you to do. His shoulder's bigger than yours. He can handle it. He already bore your cross. I'm sure he can handle your crisis and your conflict. Amen. I'm sure he can deal with that. And so I just unloaded on the Lord, and I just poured my heart out to the Lord and not done anything different. I mean, I've been walking and running and all that stuff, but I got up this morning and checked my blood pressure, and the bottom fell out of it. It come plumb back down to normal. I said, hallelujah. I said, glory to God. I didn't need a pill, I needed peace, amen. Amen. And when I dumped on the Lord and just got all the cares out of my heart, and you know what, that'll work for you and that'll work for me anytime. Dump on the Lord, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Thank God, amen. Woo, glory to God, amen. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I've experienced that. I'm glad I've seen the real peace. I'd like to be able to say I've operated for 35 years under the real peace, but I've been just like you. I've allowed that carnal peace to influence me. That's why we fall apart. That's why we fall apart, is that we're attaching our spiritual life to the carnal. See, Jesus puts a dividing line in verse 27, not as the world giveth. He puts a dividing line there and says, the world does one thing, but I do another. Amen. And I'm afraid that what we are, we're so controlled by this world. We're so carnal. We're so unspiritual this morning that amen, when things don't go our way, we get the poochie lip and we fall all to pieces. Now, I want to ask you something. Are you going to be able to face the difficulties that's coming in this world and coming against us financially and economically and morally and spiritually in this country? Do you think we're going to be able, and you're going to be able, to stand up and handle that with a world's peace? Are y'all listening? I'm serious. I mean, I'm telling you that prophetically, we're headed to a cashless society. We're headed into a one-world government. We're headed into a one-world currency and a one-world economic system with a one-world head. We're headed that way. Things cannot continue to prosper. The stage must be set for the Antichrist. Amen. And so what we should do is say, Lord, I'm going to do my part, but whatever happens, we're just going to trust you with it. Amen. That's real peace. That's real peace. Lord, it's not going to change my mind about you. It's not going to change my mind about the things of God. Amen. I want you to know, Lord, good or bad, amen, sunshiny or stormy, it don't matter. I want you to know and mean it. I love you, Lord. I love you with all my heart. Amen. Thank God, that's peace. That's real peace. Oh, glory. I'm talking about real peace that'll be a calm in your heart when you've got physical bad news, when the doctor didn't give you a good report. And are you listening? Thank God for the real peace that comes from Jesus. I believe that we could find it illustrated several places and several ways. I believe we can find it in Hebrews, Brother Mark's teaching, in the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, three Hebrew children, as we call them. They stood up when everybody else was bowing down. You know the story, right? You know the penalty for standing instead of bowing, the fiery furnace. It's easy to stand when there's no penalty. It's easy to stand when you know there's not going to be an ill consequence. You know, amen. But they stood knowing full well what the penalty was going to be, and they stood anyway. How could they do that? How could they do that? I don't believe they stood there, tore all to pieces. What are we doing? And no, I believe they stood there with a peace in their heart that could only be explained by the spiritual. And then when they, listen, I mean, they even told the king, it don't matter, king, if we're thrown in the fiery furnace or if we die or if we live, we want you to know it's well with us. We want you to know we're not going to serve you, King. We're not going to bow to the gods of this world. We're not going to bow to the pressures of this life. Amen. We're not going to bow. And they, in fact, was thrown into the fiery furnace. Literally was thrown in the fiery furnace. A furnace that was heated up 7 times hotter than it had ever been. And I did the calculation on that for what that furnace was originally made there for, was to melt gold to make gods out of. And you can get, I wrote it down in the book of Daniel, you can find the melting point of gold and then times that times 7. And you'll find out that they was thrown into a fiery furnace that I believe it was over 13,000 degrees. I'm just trying to go from memory on that, but it was 7 times. It was so hot it killed the men that threw them in. It was so hot. And how long does it take to stand there and throw somebody in? It don't take long. That's how long it took for that heat to kill those men, those strong men, to throw the three Hebrews into the fiery furnace. And then the Lord lets us take a look inside that furnace. Instead of seeing death, we see deliverance. What man meant to be the end of them, God says, I want to use this to just demonstrate and illustrate to the world what real peace is. And they were in that fiery furnace walking around. The only thing that was burnt off was the things that had them bound. Amen. And God set them free, and they enjoyed sweet communion with the fourth man in the fire. What peace. That wasn't worldly peace. That wasn't worldly peace. No, that wasn't a carnal peace. That was a spiritual peace. It was a spiritual peace. Amen. The test of our life are not to destroy us, but to develop us. It is to bring to the surface what you really have. When the storm comes and you fall to pieces, that was the real you. Amen. When a storm comes in your life and you fall to pieces and you quit and you leave your Bible closed for days on end and never pray and unfaithful to church, you know, that's the real you. That's the real you, good or bad. That's the real you. But I say again, the tests that come in our life is not to destroy us, but to develop us. Amen, that's right. I believe that both of these peace that are illustrated in verse, or is talked about in verse 27, I believe they're illustrated in Mark chapter number 4 in the storm. Jesus told his disciples, get into the ship and go to the other side. They were in the ship God told them to get in. They were in the ship, meaning they were obedient. They got in. They did what Jesus said. They were obedient. They were in the will of God. They were following Christ. But yet a storm came. And to show that those disciples was operating under the carnal peace, a peace that comes from this world or circumstances, if you will. Soon as the storm hit, they fall to pieces. And they go to the Lord, and here's what they said. They give the estimation of the situation. Carest thou not that we, what? Perish. You know what that meant? Lord, this storm's bigger than we are. This storm's greater than we are, and we can't handle it. And we're going to perish. They were operating under a natural peace. A carnal peace. It's good as long as they were sailing fine. Besides, when the storm hit, it surfaced that they didn't have and wasn't operating under the real peace. But there was one on board that was. In the hinder part of the ship, Jesus was there, and guess what he was doing? Wringing his fingers and drinking Maalox and calling the psychic network. Wondering what the horoscope says about him today. No. You know what he was doing? In the same storm that the disciples thought we're going to perish, this is the end of us, we're not going to make it, Jesus was asleep. You say, oh, but he was God. Of course he's the Son. Well, wait a minute. Yes, he was God. But he was also 100% man. He wouldn't need to be asleep. If it was just God, he is asleep because he gets tired. He was the human side of him got tired. And he was asleep on a pillow, the Bible says. He was demonstrating his peace. The storm around did not affect him. Oh no. But the disciples were disturbed by what they heard and what they felt and what they saw. But Jesus woke up, of course you know the story, and he goes out on the bow of the ship and he says, peace be still. Peace. Peace be still. Peace. Here's what it was. Peace that was within him. The peace that's his. My peace I give unto you. He said, peace be still. And what happened? The winds and the waves obey. Amen. Thank God. But you see, both of those peace, worldly peace and the divine spiritual peace illustrated right there. I believe you can also see those two peace illustrated in Matthew chapter 14 with Peter when Jesus come walking on the water in the stormy waves. And Jesus said to Peter, or Peter questioned, Lord, is that you? They first thought he was a spook, you know. They first thought he was just a spirit, a ghost. And Jesus said, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter did more than all of us have ever done. Don't make fun of him. Don't criticize him for sinking. At least he did walk on the water more steps than we have. I would have never got out of the boat. I'd have said, Lord, I've got a better idea. Come on, isn't that right? That's always the answer of world peace, worldly peace. Is, Lord, I know better than you. Peter, that's why Peter rebuked the Lord. Lord, be it far from thee, Lord. You're not going to leave us. You're not going to no cross. No, no, Peter. Lord, you're not. You know what Peter was saying? Worldly peace in him saying, I know better than you. I know you're saying it's a cross and you're going to die. And I said, no, you're going to stay here and we're going to set up a kingdom. It's going to be hunky-dory right here. I know better than you. How many of us have been there? How many of us have been there? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been there. I've been there and probably will be there again to where we get in a situation and the Lord is doing what we can't see. The Lord is doing what we don't understand. We can't explain it. Hey, I feel God this morning. Hey, the Lord's at work and he's doing what we don't understand. Amen. And we've got another plan. How about, Lord, you doing this? And Lord, if you ought to do that. I'm glad the Lord's not answering a lot of my prayers. Does that make sense? Because what I've asked him to do would have been of what I wanted and what I thought was right and what would have felt good to me and what would have given me some of that circumstantial peace. But the Lord will lead you through troubled waters so that when you look back on it, you'll say, yeah, Lord, you was right. You knew best. You knew what you was doing. There was a deficiency in me that you was trying to correct. There was a problem in me, Brother Scott, the Lord was trying to correct. There was a weakness in me the Lord was trying to strengthen. There was an area in my life that he knew was there. I may have not known it was there. But the Lord allowed a storm to surface that. Jesus said, Come thou, and he come on the water. Peter walking on the water. Here we find those two peace. We have the carnal peace. We have the spiritual peace. Where's the spiritual peace? In Jesus. What's he doing? What's he doing on the stormy waters? The same waters that was tossing that ship to and fro. The same waves, the same storm, my friend, that will look like was going to be the end of the disciples. What was Jesus doing? Now, I don't believe he was jumping from one wave top to another wave top. I believe that every time he put his foot down, that particular area was as calm as glass.
And he was walking on the water regardless of how deep it was. He was walking on that water regardless of how rough it was. It was, amen, what it was doing to the disciples, it was not doing to Christ. Why? He had that peace. But Peter, he did well. He did well with the spiritual peace for a while. As long as he was looking at the Lord, he was doing just like the Lord. He was enjoying a walk on the water, Brother Silas, just like Jesus. Amen. But then something happened. He took his eyes off the Lord. He got his eyes, and listen, this was in the fourth watch of the night, so it's dark. I don't know how much he could see. Maybe some moonlight, I don't know. Of course, there's a big storm, so it's doubtful that even the moon was even shining. So it was probably very dark, so I doubt he could see a whole lot. But he took his eyes off the Lord and started paying attention to what he could feel, the waves hitting him. What he could hear, the waves crashing. Huh? Got his eyes off of the Lord. He wasn't focused on the Lord. He wasn't walking by faith now. He wasn't under the influence of that divine spiritual peace. Got his eyes off the Lord. And guess what the Bible said? He began to sink. He began to sink. Mark it down. Lord just showed me this. It's a good little statement right here. That worldly peace, it won't hold you up in the storm. That worldly peace, my friend, will let you sink. You'll become a spiritual fatality. A spiritual casualty. You'll be a has-been, a used-to-be. Everybody talk about, oh yeah, this is the way. I remember Peter once upon a time. No. Worldly peace will drop you. Worldly peace don't care about you. But that divine peace, amen. Oh yeah. Peter realizing that he had switched over. Peter realized he'd made the mistake. That's usually better than most of us because we never admit it. I mean, we're going, we're coming up for the last time. And we're, oh, I'm doing fine, preacher. How you doing? No, I'm doing okay. Most of the time when I ask people that, I'm not inquiring. Most of the time when I ask people that, I'm making a statement. I just want to see if you admit it. Oh, I'm doing fine, preacher. I'm a half inch from death. I'm going under. I'm about out of church. But I'm doing all right. How you doing? Well, I'm doing fine, preacher. What do you mean fine? You'd be surprised how many people that's even got suicidal thoughts thinking, I'm going to end my life, that would tell you that if you ask them. How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Peter had to get honest with himself and realize, I'm sinking. And soon as he was aware that this worldly peace, which is circumstantial, won't hold me up, it won't support me, then he turns back to the Lord and says, Lord, save me. Three words. And the Lord reached out his hand. Now, if that had been the Lord, one, I would have probably let him sink because he took his eyes off of me. And I'd have said, I told you to, you know, that's probably been me. The old compassionate preacher. No. I'd have probably said, that's good enough for you, Peter. Or I'd have waited till he sunk. And then I'd have reached way down underneath and pulled him out. But no. Peter prayed, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached out his hand and called him. Caught him. I like that term. Caught him. You know what that's like throwing a ball to somebody and they catch it. But Silas, if I'd have thought about it and we'd have illustrated that this morning, I'd have brought some ball gloves this morning, man. I'd put you over there, I'd put over here, and I would have threw the ball or had Brother Silas to throw the ball. That ball's got a destiny. Without an interruption and an interference, that ball is going to hit the bottom. There's going to be a crash with that ball. But if I catch it, but if I catch it, I've stopped the motion. I've stopped the direction. I've stopped the consequence. I've stopped the disaster. Amen. And the Bible said Jesus caught him. Hey, the devil said, "Old Peter, you almost went under." Yeah, devil, that's right. The key word there, big boy, is almost. Yeah, the key word there, devil, is almost. Amen. Devil might be saying to some of you, "You're almost out. You're almost out. You're almost done. You're almost gone. You're a hopeless case." Hey, but I want to tell you the key word there is almost. You're not gone. You're here in church this morning. Hey, you're not gone. If you're lost here today, you're not in hell. You're here this morning. Hear the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Well, that's right. Amen. My goodness, this has got so big. Simple, isn't it, though? Simple. But Jesus said, "My peace give unto you. Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you." He said, my peace. I'm going to give you my very own peace. I'm going to give you the very peace that helped me. That you know, you look at the life of Jesus and you see him when he should have been full of revenge and full of retaliation and retribution and wrath and anger and amen and throwing people in hell and stomping people and killing people, but no, he's calm. Spit on his face. What would you do? What would you do? Somebody spit in your face, what would you do? Jesus just took it. Bible said he opened not his mouth. Why? He was being beat, the cat of nine tails, ripping the flesh from his bones. Are you listening? Peace. Peace that come from heaven. Peace that was divine. Peace that come from submission and surrender of his will to God. Saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Amen. He opened not his mouth. They beat on him. He laid himself down on the cross. He said, "I lay my life down." They didn't wrestle him down like they would other criminals. They didn't wrestle Jesus down upon the cross. He laid his life down. Amen. I tell you, he had peace in that he did not call 12 legions of angels on the cross. That's the kind of peace he said, "I'll give you." Amen. He didn't. That's 12 legions of angels in excess of 72,000 angels. He said, "I could have called them." He said, "I could have prayed and the Father would have sent them. And they would have got me off this cross." But aren't you glad he did not pray that? Because if he had got off that cross, we would have no salvation because there would be no Savior. See, when you operate in the peace that comes from God, you think clearly. You don't operate off of impulse. Impulse would be, "I'm hurting and I'm in pain and they're hurting me and they're killing me and they're talking about me and they're calling me names and I'm going to get them." No, peace of God helps you to think clearly in chaos, clearly in crisis. And he said, "No, I could have. He said, I could have prayed for that." And you think about 12 legions of angels, that's over 72,000 angels. And you look at in the Old Testament, buddy, one angel in the book of Kings, one angel in one night slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers and never broke a sweat and would have completely annihilated them all if God hadn't stopped them. Are you listening? I'm talking about one angel. Jesus said, "I could have called over 72,000 angels." Getting off that cross would have been Jesus operating under worldly peace. But Jesus operated with that divine, holy, heavenly, eternal, spiritual peace that kept him on the cross to do the will of God even though it hurts. To do the will of God even though it didn't feel good. To do the will of God even though there was pain involved. Amen. What about Stephen? Stephen in Acts chapter number 7. Stephen was being stoned. But what do you see a portrait of there? What do you see a demonstration of there? Was Peter getting the stones and throwing them back? How dare you? Hey! No. He was being stoned, but he didn't do any stoning. Peter was there, and even to the point they stoned, he died. No doubt, and I believe he died on his knees. I believe he died on his knees. I believe the passage shows that. The last thing you see before the Bible said he fell asleep, which meant he died, was that he was on his knees. And what do you see there before he dies? He's praying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He's being hit with real rocks, real stones. For wrongdoing, sin, stealing, robbing, killing, no. Just for preaching the truth. And what was it Peter or Stephen showed us? His face was as it was that of an angel. Peace. Fell asleep. He just fell asleep. Do you see that? Do you see that real divine heavenly peace that is exhibited there? It's all through the Bible. Can I give you another one? Acts chapter 12. Herod, King Herod had already killed James. So it was evident he meant business. James was the first martyr. Peter was in prison and Peter was up next. Good reasoning would say, now, if Herod killed James and I'm in prison and I'm next, likely I'm going down too. What was it that Peter was doing? What would you be doing? What would you be doing on the night before your head being cut off? Can I do a Baptist demonstration? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh. Blood pressure up. Hey, amen. Falling apart. Replaying the last several years of your life, wondering what could I have done differently to avoid this. But what was Peter doing? Asleep. And I'll tell you how asleep he was. But Mike, I'll tell you how asleep he was. I'm not getting it now. The circumstances are not good. My buddy James has already got his head cut off and I'm next. I don't think I'd be asleep, would you? The world's peace won't. But here Peter was fast asleep. And I'll tell you how asleep he was. You know, the church was praying for him to get out. God sent an angel down there to get him out. Opened up all the doors for him to get out. Went in there to get him out, and Peter was so asleep that an angel talking to him didn't wake him up. Let's go, Peter. The Lord's answering the prayer of the church. You're getting out. Let's go, Peter. And the angel had to shake him to wake him up. You talking about peace. You look at the peace of God that's enjoyed with God's people, and people scratches their head and says, I don't see how. They're going through that and they're relaxed and they're calm. Thank God. Boy, that'll help you, won't it? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. I don't know what's coming my way, and I don't know what's coming your way, and I don't know what's coming toward RBT. I don't know that, but I do know this, thank God. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit of God, there's a peace that's His fruit that's produced in your life. That is a peace which passeth all understanding. Well, amen. I didn't get nowhere with it, felt like, but that's all right. I enjoyed it. It helped me if it didn't help nobody else. There's a real peace for you. Let me close with this. I'm just not done. I'm just going to quit. There's a real peace for you. It's not from the world. I'm going to stress that point. Real peace cannot be found in sin. Real peace cannot be found, listen, in fighting against God. Real peace cannot be found in trying to figure it all out. Boy, aren't we bad about that. Trying to figure it out. You can't figure God out. You can't figure God out. Real peace cannot be found. It can, if you'll get that, it'll save you years of wasted life, of a wasted life. That Jesus Christ is the only real source of peace. And I can say that from the Scriptures, but I can also say that from my own life. I got saved at 20 years old. And I'm not going to go into all the details and different things about my life, but I tell you that I looked for peace. That's what I was longing for, peace and you know, joy. I was trying to find all that. And that goes together because it's all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, right on down the line. And I tried a little of this and a whole lot of that, and I never could get peace. I had a little bit of that worldly peace, you know. Had a little bit of that worldly peace when you're on a little high, so to speak. You're on a little high. But that quickly goes away, don't it? And those of you that don't know, thank God you don't know. But it's quickly gone. You drink a little of this and it makes you forget about your problems for a little bit, but then you wake up in the morning or the next day and all of a sudden, right there in your face is your problems again. And worldly peace says you need to go back and drink some more. You need to go smoke some more dope. You need another pill. You need to go party. You need to do this. You need to do that. That's your answer. No, it's not your answer. I see people here in Rogersville all the time. I saw one in Walmart yesterday, just like a zombie. Eyes barely open, it's kind of dysfunctioning. I thought, what a wasted life. Absolutely a zombie. They think that's it. Just stay high, stay out of my mind. Stay out yonder in la-la land. Pills and alcohol and dope. What a wasted life that is. But that's the way a person that's trying to find worldly peace, that's what they're going to do, Brother Silas. They're going to go here and they're going to go there. And money's not an option. They'll spend every dime they got to get another buzz or another hit, another high, another... And amen, that's right. They'll spend it all. Amen. I had a man, young boy, get saved in Hendersonville in a revival I preached. He had a $500 a day heroin addiction. Now, you don't make that kind of money. There's got to be stealing and everything else involved in that. But he thought, man, that's the only way I can have peace. Yeah. I had one, if I called his name, everybody in here would know him. He told me, he said, "Preacher, these pills, they're my friend." I said, "They're your friend when they're destroying your life? They've done destroyed your family. They done took your wife and your children away. This is my friend right here. It's what helps numb the pain." Are you listening? A man in Sir Gowansville, Brother Ivan, that we visited, sitting there drunk. I don't know. I think he got saved. Somebody said George got saved, but you know what? He was sitting there that day. And he'd sit there in that one spot so long in his kitchen. You've been in his house. He'd sit there so long that the four legs of that chair had wore holes plumb through the linoleum and plumb into the subfloor. And sit right there and drink every day, all day long. Prop his feet up on the paneling, and the paneling had a hole in it where his feet had been there so long and so many times, wore a hole plumb through the paneling on the wall. I asked him one day, I said, "Where's your family at? Where's your wife at?" I pointed some pictures on the wall. I said, "Who is that?" He said, "That's my grandkids." I said, "Who's that?" He said, "That's my wife." I said, "Who's that?" He said, "That's my children." I said, "Where are they at?" He said, "They're all gone." And I knew why, but I wanted to ask. I said, why? And he held up that can. I said, you mean to tell me you choose what's in that can over your wife and over your family? And without hesitation, Brother Mike, he said, yes. That's bondage. But you know what it's all about? Yeah, I'm trying to find some peace. Thank God you're looking at one, hallelujah, that's got peace in his heart. And I don't have to drink no Bud Stupid or Miller Low Life or smoke a joint or pop a pill. Thank God I don't have to go to the party. I don't have to, my friend, to throw my life down the toilet. I to try to find some peace that'll be gone in the morning.
The peace I'm talking about you can enjoy when the storms are raging or when the sun's are shining.
The peace I'm talking about you can enjoy whether the Republicans are in office or the Democrats are in office. Say amen right there. I'm talking about peace that comes from the Lord. Thank God. I'm glad this world didn't give me peace whole like this. It didn't give me peace so it can't take it away. Hallelujah. My peace, Jesus said, give I unto you. Not as the world giveth. World's peace is circumstantial, but Jesus is based on a relationship. Do you know him this morning? Are you saved? And if you are saved this morning, are you operating under that worldly peace that comes and goes with circumstances? That comes and goes with what you hear or what you see or what you feel? That's not good. That's not real peace. Jesus wants to give you real peace. Let's all stand, please. Heavenly Father,